Daniel chapter 3 and verse 13 says, "Then Nebuchadnezzar in his rage and fury commanded to bring Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Then they brought these men before the king. Nebuchadnezzar spake and said unto them, Is it true, O Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? Do not ye serve my gods, nor worship the golden image which I have set up? Now, if ye be ready that at what time ye hear the sound of the cornet, the flute, the harp, the sackbut, the psalmistry, the dulcimer, and all kinds of music, ye shall fall down and worship the image which I made. Well, but if ye worship not, ye shall be cast the same hour into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. And who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hands?" Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, "O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. If it be so, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thine hand, O king. But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up." Then was Nebuchadnezzar full of fury, and the form of his visage was changed against Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Therefore he spake and commanded that they should heat the furnace 1/7 times more than it was wont to be heated. And he commanded the most mighty men that were in his army to bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and to cast them into the burning fiery furnace. Then these men were bound in their coats, their hosen, and their hats, and their other garments, and were cast into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Therefore, because the king's commandment was urgent, and the furnace exceeding hot, the flames of the fire slew those men that took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And these three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell down, bound in the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Then Nebuchadnezzar the king was astonied, and he rose up in haste and spake and said unto his counselors, "Did not we cast three men bound in the midst of the fire?" They answered and said unto the king, "True, O king." He answered and said, "Lo, I see four men loose walking in the midst of the fire, and they have no hurt, and the form of the fourth is like the Son of God." Then Nebuchadnezzar came near to the mouth of the burning fiery furnace and spake and said, "Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, ye servants of the Most High God, come forth, come hither." Then Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came forth from the midst of the fire. And the princes, governors, captains, and the king's counselors being gathered together saw these men, upon whose bodies the fire had no power, nor was a hair of their head singed, neither were their coats changed, nor the smell of the fire had passed on them. Then Nebuchadnezzar spake and said, "Blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who sent his angel and delivered his servants that trusted in him and have changed the king's word and yielded their bodies that they might not serve nor worship any god except their own God. Therefore, I make a decree that every people, nation, and language which speak anything amiss against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego shall be cut in pieces, and their houses shall be made a dunghill, because there is no other God that can deliver after this sort." Lord, I love you and I thank you so much for who you are and what you've done for us. I think of how Nebuchadnezzar said, "There is no other God that can deliver after this sort." Lord, there is no other God that can deliver. That alone belongs to you. And I thank you for who you are and what you've done for us. And I pray this evening that I would lift you up and I would lift your word up and that you'd speak to our hearts. I ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. What a story from Scripture. How many of favorite passages of Scripture, favorite stories from the Bible that you enjoy? I have some favorites. I love the life of Daniel. David. I love David's life. I love the story of David and Goliath. Certain stories in the Scripture. Elijah at Mount Carmel when he calls down fire from heaven. And he asks them, where is your God? Where's Baal? Does he sleep? I love that passage of Scripture. And I enjoy this story of Daniel and Shadrach and Meshach and Abednego. What a portion of Scripture. Talk about men of faith. An unusual faith and a faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and or in God, in the God of heaven. And you see that in this passage of Scripture. You know the story. This King Nebuchadnezzar at that time was the mightiest man, the most powerful man in all of the known world. He had marched against Egypt and conquered Egypt at this time. He had marched against the city of Tyre that Ezekiel the prophet had prophesied and said one day men will throw their nets where the city once stood and will dry their nets where it was. And Nebuchadnezzar began the fulfillment of that prophecy when he conquered Tyre for the first time, but not completely. Alexander the Great would fulfill that several 100 years later, and he would wipe parts of the city of Tyre so clear, and he'd use it to build a land bridge out into out there to the remainder of the city that stood there right on the coast. And fishermen would literally dry their nets where the city of Tyre once was. And so he had marched against Jerusalem multiple times. He had marched against Jerusalem and brought captives back. And in his pride, he began to take credit for this. And so he decides to do something. He builds an image some 90 feet high and 9 feet wide, an image of himself, a picture of himself. I picture maybe he had been to Egypt and seen the pyramids there in Egypt when he took it, and decided to make something comparable there in Babylon. And he builds this image of himself. And he gathers, if you will, all the most powerful people in the world. If you read early in the chapter, he said, I'm going to gather everybody of leadership and everybody here to before this image. And when the music is played, he said, I want you to bow and worship this image of me. We know this, Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego. We don't know for sure. The Lord doesn't tell us where Daniel was, but Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego refused to bow. They refused to bow, and there were some tattletalers that came along and said, Nebuchadnezzar, these three men have refused to bow to your image. So they took him before Nebuchadnezzar, and in his rage, as they refused once again, he said, heat that fire 7 times hotter. And then the mightiest men, some of these soldiers, the mightiest men in his army, this army that had conquered the known world, binds these men and goes to throw them in the fire and die before the heat of the fire. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego there in the flames fall bound and then rise up and begin to walk around with someone he said looked like the Son of God. I love it how they come out and not a hair on their head is singed. Well, what a story of faith, a faith for the fire, if you will. A faith that brought them to a place of a willingness to stand alone. Well, I believe we are in desperate need in our time, in any time, for Christians who are willing to stand alone. And this portion of Scripture gives us an illustration of some men who did that very thing. They stood alone here in Babylon. And we still have their testimony of faith. And I just want you to notice a few things. The first thing I want you to notice about this passage of Scripture is the fury they faced. The things that they faced at this moment, I think of how it said about Nebuchadnezzar, he was in such a fury that the form of his visage, his countenance visibly changed. He was so angry. But what you'll notice here is the few things they faced. First of all, they faced an emotional enticement. Look at verse 5. It says that at what time ye hear the sound of the cornet, the flute, the harp, the sackbut, the psaltery, the dulcimer, and all kinds of music, ye fall down and worship the golden image that Nebuchadnezzar the king hath set up. The music. He said, when it plays, I think of the same thing when Moses was up in the mount and Joshua was there and the Lord sent Moses back and he brought those 10 commandments down and they begin to hear the people and Joshua says, Lord, Moses, I hear the noise of war in the camp. And Moses says, no, that's not the noise of war. That's the noise of those who sing. Sounds much like the world's music. Drive down the road, you'll hear it thumping in your ear. All right. He said, that's the noise of war that you hear. You find it running throughout Scripture. And there was an emotional, if you will, pull to bow the knee that day. Picture for a moment here. This is the mightiest king in all the world. He had conquered the known world, failing to realize that God was just simply using him as a hand of judgment against his people and the nations who moved against his people. But he comes to this place and the world, the most powerful people in the world, relishing in his victory and celebrating his victory. And he builds this image there that day. And he said, I want to gather everybody around, as many as we can. And here's this image. When the moment comes, play the music and bow the knee. Boy, the emotional pull that must have been that day to bow the knee. Boy, there is emotional pull today for the Christian to bow their knee to the things of this world. There's a pull this world, in this day and age, in this world's media and music and methods and philosophies to bow the knees to the things of this world. There's a pull from it to bow their knee to the things of God. And I think of how Joshua said, choose you this day whom you will serve. Boy, this world pulls to bow the knee to its media, to its music, to its philosophies, so far from God. I think specifically as you see the music in here, what this world's music portrays, it teaches everything that you as a godly parent teach against. The world's music and media will promote to your family and your children everything that you are promoting the opposite. If you're raising your children up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord, this world's music will teach you them everything else. It will teach them impurity. It will teach them to move towards alcoholism and all that filth of the world. And it will promote everything that you are trying to teach the opposite of. It's media. And it'll pull to bow the knee. It'll create a desire in the heart to bow the knee. For the Christian, God, there's the call. You don't bow your knee to the things of this world. The fury that they face, the emotional pull. How about the social inducement in verses 4 through 7? It says, then a herald cried aloud, to you it is commanded, O people, nations, and languages. All, O people, nations, and languages. It said in verse 5, that at what time ye hear the sound of the cornet, the flute, the harp, the sackbut, the psaltery, the dulcimer, and all kinds of music, ye fall down and worship the golden image that Nebuchadnezzar the king has set up. And whoso falleth not down in worship shall the same hour be cast in the midst of a burning fiery furnace. Therefore, at that time, when all the people heard the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, and all kinds of music, all the people, the nations and the languages fell down and worshiped the golden image that Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up. Talk about the pressure from the world. Everybody bowed down. All the world. If you read up earlier, you'll see the sheriffs and the leaders, and he lists all these leaders that day who were gathered together that all bowed down. They relished, if you will, in the image of Nebuchadnezzar, this king, their God at that point, who had conquered the known world. He said, let's gather together, let's play the music, and when it's played and when you hear it, bow the knee to me. And everybody bowed. I think of the scripture where the Lord said, broad is the way. Broad is the way that leads to destruction. Narrow is the way that leads to life. Everybody bowed. The pressure. Yet these three were unmoved. They refused to bow. What we need in this world desperately, Christians who are willing to be a salt and a light in this world. A willingness to stand as everybody else bows. And be unashamed of it. I won't bow to the things of this world. I won't bow to the gods of this world. I have one to whom I bow already. And his name is Jesus. And they bowed that day as they were moved by that emotion. Or folks bowed that day as they were moved by that emotion and moved by the crowd. And they were moved by it. I think of this specifically when it comes to our young people. Our young people are pushed in this day and age by its music, by its media, by the things of this world, by the crowd and their friends that are out there in the world pushing them to bow and to humble themselves before the gods of this world. And God says, no. The call of the Christian is don't bow your knee. They bowed because of the social, if you will, inducement, the emotional enticement, the social inducement we see here. Not only that, but we even see here something comparable to our day, government enforcement. And whoso falls not down and worshipeth shall the same hour be cast in the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Nebuchadnezzar had given a command. We live in a world that is increasingly becoming hostile to Christianity. Not just in the world, but in our government. For you to speak out one day may cost churches their tax exempt status. Hey, I was looking at it in many places. You can go to the bar and the casinos, but you can't go to church. Don't sing a song. Don't do these things. And you say, well, there's a virus, preacher. I know that, but the hostility sure comes to the church the quickest. The hostility sure comes to the church the quickest. Well, I think we're rapidly approaching the day when even the government will call for the Christian to bow their knee on what they believe. To silence and manage what's cried out from the pulpit. I noticed this, that in Biden's one of his person that he was putting in his staff has frowned upon the First Amendment and has openly criticized the First Amendment, that freedom of speech to declare what you believe to the world. The thing is, Christian, will you bow the knee? There was the emotional enticement, the social inducement, the government enforcement, and there was a spiritual defilement. That verse again, it says, and whoso falleth not down and what? Worshipeth. You remember something. When you bow to the knee of this world, it is worship. That's worship of another God. To bow to the things of this world is worship. It's just not the God of heaven that you worship. To bow to the influences of this world is worship. And it is always defiling. When you put your knee in the dirt for the God of this world, you come back dirty. You know, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego could have bowed that day and just gone back to worshiping the next. What about Daniel? Remember the decree? Don't pray to anybody but Nebuchadnezzar. There, you know, there was an end point on that. He could have quit going to the window to pray for a period of time. What about in the beginning, in chapter 1, when they refused to defile themselves with the king's meat? What if they just decided, well, we're in Babylon. For a while, let's eat it. When we get past this trial, we'll go back to eating what we were eating. So they do something. When you bow, you get dirty. When you bow, you get dirty. And there's no guarantee that you're getting back up. And God is worth a Christian who refused to bow to the things of this world, to the gods of this world. There was a spiritual defilement that they faced that day, and they said something. I don't want any of it. None of it. Not in my life. Not in this time. I don't want any of it. They refused to bow. The fury that they faced, that emotional enticement, that social inducement, that government enforcement, and that spiritual defilement that faced them if they bowed. And the call to the Christian is, don't bow. Don't bow. We see the fury that they faced. Number two, we see the faith that they followed. I love verse 16. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, here he is. He said, I'm giving you one more shot, fellas. The music is going to play. And when it plays, you have one more chance to bow the knee. And they said, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in all this matter. Here it is, king. Nope. Guess what? I don't need to think about it today. I don't need to pray about it overnight. I don't need to fast on it. I don't need to consult my friends and look around and see what everybody has to say. I don't need to do anything a part of it. He goes, here's my answer. It's clear. It's plain. The answer is no. I don't need to be careful about this. I don't need to think about it. It was decided for me in chapter 1. When I said, I will not defile myself with the king's meat. He says, I'm not deciding today as to whether I will bow or not. I decided that a long time ago. See, he had a settled faith. The question mark had been removed and a period was put at the end of the sentence. See, too many Christians today live with a question mark at the end of their faith, at the end of their convictions. And see, should I or will I not? But they had removed that a long time ago and said the question mark was gone. It was settled. It was decided. There was no going back. And I would ask you this today, Christian, is your faith a settled faith? Have you already decided on what you believe and what is true and the convictions of the Word of God to the place that you say, I'm not questioning it. I have decided already. Too many Christian folks at this point would have said, well, hey, fellas, let's pray about it. They didn't pray about it. Let's think about it. You need to think about it. Let's work it out. See what we can do and come up with. They said, we don't need to. Play all the music you want to play. Give all the pressure you want to pressure. Give all the enforcement you want to enforce. But I am not bowing to that false god and to this world. My faith is settled. My convictions are settled. They are final. You know, Christian, we need to have a settled faith. Firmly settled on this word. With the question marks removed and the periods in its place and our convictions that are settled, that we're not going day to day trying to decide. It is settled. It is settled. I'll tell you this. If you don't settle, you will bow. If you don't settle, you will bow. Decide what is true and put a period. Decide on your convictions. Make the big decisions ahead of time. So when the pressure comes, You're not trying to make up your mind.
Amen.
Friend, it is hard when the emotions begin to play. It is hard when the social inducement comes. It is hard when the enforcement comes. Hey, but if you've already decided, it won't matter. They were settled in their faith and their convictions. I notice this, not only did they have a settled faith, but they had a strong faith. Verse 17. If it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace. They had an able God. Jacqueline likes to sing. She likes to sing a couple songs. She'll ask me if we can sing the crayon song. When I was just a little child, no higher than your knee, my mama bought a box of crayons just for me. You know the song. Then she'll ask me, can we sing He's Able? He's able. He's able. I know He's able. I know my God is able to carry me through. These fellas had an able God. Do you have an able God? Do you say in your heart, oh, He is able? Or do you say, I'm not really sure. He did it then, but will He do it again? They served an able God. They said this, not only is my faith settled, But it is strong. I have a strong faith that believes God can. He looked at Nebuchadnezzar and they said, look, here it is. You can heat that fire as hot as you want to fire it, but God can deliver us. You know, one of the gods, the Babylonians were a pagan people and they worshiped several gods. One of their gods was the god of fire, and can't pronounce the guy's name, but one of their gods was the god of fire and flame. You know what Nebuchadnezzar was saying? And matter of fact, he says it in this verse. If you look at verse 15, he said this, verse 14. And Nebuchadnezzar spake and said unto them, is it true, O Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, do not ye serve my gods, nor worship the golden image which I have set up? Now if ye be ready that at what time ye hear the sound of the cornet, the flute, the harp, the sackbut, the psaltery, and the dulcimer, and all kinds of music, ye fall down and worship the image which I have made. Well, but if ye worship not, ye shall be cast the same hour into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. And who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hands? You think you've got a God that can stop the flames of my fire? You think you have a God that can stop my hands? I have conquered the known world. I have sacked Egypt. I have sacked Tyre. I have sacked your own royal city of Jerusalem. I have carried you captive and murdered your loved ones. And he said, you think you can stand here this day? And they looked back at him and they said, yes. Yes. You settle on this fact that if you stand against this world, that yes, God can deliver you. Hey, you said, yeah, I serve a God who can. I serve a God who is able. They had a settled faith that had a period at the end of it. And they had a faith that was strong. They also had a faith that was steadfast. Look at verse 18. But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. Man, they had a settled faith. They said, we don't even need to think on this matter. We don't have to be careful about this matter. They said, our God is able. They said, but we got news for you. He's able. But if he chooses not to, we're still not bowing the knee to you. If we walk into that fire and we're burnt up, we're still not bowing. If he chooses not to deliver us, we know he's fully capable, because he said, let there be light, and there was light. Because he's the one who hung the stars in the sky and the moon in the sky. He's the one who spoke this world into existence. He's the one that gave the promise to our father Abraham. He's the one who led us out of Egypt in the first place. And the only reason you stand here today is because God is using you to chasten his people according to the prophecies of Ezekiel and Jeremiah. And he said, that's the only reason you stand here today. He's fully capable of delivering us. But if he doesn't, no. Be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. You know what? Do you have an if not clause in your faith? Do you have an if not clause in your faith? In other words, do you have something in your faith? You know, it's easy to say, oh, God will do wonderful things. God can deliver. God can deliver. But do you have an if not clause that if he chooses not, you still will? Let me read you these verses in Hebrews. And whom shall I more say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon, of Barak, of Samson, and of Jephthah, of David also, and Samuel, and the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms and wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword. Out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned to flight the armies of aliens. Women received their dead raised to life again, and others were tortured, not accepting deliverance that they might obtain a better resurrection. They said, look at all these people and the victories that were here. Everybody wants that. Verse 36 continues with this. And others had trials of cruel mockings and scourgings. Yea, moreover, of bonds and of imprisonments. They were stoned. They were sawn asunder. They were tempted. They were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens and of caves of the earth. And these all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise, God having provided some better thing for us, that they might without us should not be made perfect. Everybody likes the deliverance, don't they? Everybody likes to say, delivered. I'll follow you as long as you deliver. But if not, do you have an if not clause in your faith that says, I'm going with you? See, they knew something. The flames could burn them if God said no. What was on the other side of the flames was so much better. See, they had deliverance, period. It was just when and how it arrived. That's what they knew. The flames might get them, but that's all right. They were delivered unto the next life, to their God. If not, they had faith. They had a faith that was settled, that was strong, that was steadfast, that said something, I am going to keep going, period. I'm going to go if I'm not delivered. I'm going to go if the flames do burn me. I'm going to flame if you, I'm going to keep going if you watch me go up in flames in this fiery furnace. I will not bow to you. Do you know what? If we're not careful, we get a faith that believes God can, but bows when God, when we don't think He will. Because it's not steadfast. It's not steadfast. We should have a faith that is settled, that is strong, that is steadfast, that says, even if He doesn't. I'm afraid sometimes we've done a generation of disservice. We keep teaching this, and there's some truth to it. Follow this book, and the blessings of God will follow you all over. Friends, some of the blessings of God will. And sometimes, yea, all they that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. And what happens sometimes, there's a generation of young people who quit following God when the world looks more appealing because they don't have a steadfast faith. And if we're not careful Christians, we don't have a steadfast faith that says, in spite, even if I'm not delivered, I am following Him because of who He is and what He has done. Their faith was settled. It was strong. It was steadfast. And lastly, we see the fellowship they found. You know, the last part of this chapter here in verse, well, towards the end, if you look at verse 24 through 25, then Nebuchadnezzar the king was astonished, and he rose up in haste and spake and said unto the counselors, did not we cast three men bound in the midst of the fire? They answered and said unto the king, true, O king. He answered and said, lo, I see four men loose walking in the midst of the fire, and they have no hurt. And the form of the fourth is like the Son of God. Verse 27. And the princes and governors and captains of the king's counselors being gathered together saw these men on whose bodies the fire had no power, nor was a hair of their head singed, neither were their coats changed, nor the smell of fire had passed on them. You know, they had the cleansing of a saint. You notice when you read this portion of scripture, they were cast in bound, but they came out loose. Did you catch that? They had tied them up. They had bound them up and they had thrown them in the fire. But when they came out loose. The only thing that burned in the fire were the things the world put on them. The only thing that burned that day in the flat fire was the things the world had put on them. God did a cleansing work that day. He said, I've got something that's going to burn in that fire. It's going to be the bondage of this world. He said, Nebuchadnezzar, you can bind them. You can heat that fire 7 times hotter till the mightiest men in your army burn up. But my children won't burn up. And the only thing that's going to burn in that fire are the binds that are the bounds that you put on them. That's going to burn that day. Boy, there's a cleansing that comes when God's people decide to follow God, period. And not bow to the pressures of this world. The only things that burn are the things the world puts in. And that needed a burn in the first place. It says there, not even the hair of their head was singed. Hey, the smell of fire wasn't even on them. Man, I tell you what, I start a little fire in my fireplace and I smell like fire. They went into a fiery furnace. And they came out of it. You couldn't go over there. Probably Nebuchadnezzar stunk. But they didn't. You couldn't even tell. The world didn't stick to them. Isn't it good to have Christians that the world doesn't stick to? Its smell doesn't follow them around. Its binds have been burned off. Its binding has been burned off because they decided something. I'm not bowing. Play your music and try to seduce us with those emotional enticements. Try to pressure us with this social inducement. Try to use the government to enforce it. And you can do it all, but I don't want any of it. Throw me in your fire. I am settled in my faith. I am strong in my faith. I'll be steadfast in my faith. And you'll find something. Things this world will burn off. Things this world will burn off in that fire. The world burnt off, but they didn't even smell like flames. Notice this, the companionship of the Savior. Verse 25, and he answered and said, Lo, I see 4 men loose walking in the midst of the fire, and they have no hurt. And the form of the fourth is like the Son of God. There he was, a companionship, a closeness. I believe they probably were never felt closer to the Lord than they did that day. If Nebuchadnezzar saw him, they saw him. Can you imagine? They probably looked at these other and said, Well, fellas, it's good to know you. I'll see you on the other side, probably. They fell in the fire and looked up, looked around, and then they saw God. Knew it was going to be fine. Hey, the companionship. Do you know where God wasn't at? In the emotional enticement. Boy, he wasn't there. Play your music, Nebuchadnezzar. That wasn't where he was at. Oh, the world, he wasn't abiding in that stuff. He wasn't, when those instruments started playing, he wasn't there. He wasn't in that social inducement, that pressure. Just bow for today, man. You can get up and worship tomorrow. He wasn't in that. He wasn't there in the government when they said, do what you got to, go follow me, go bow. And Nebuchadnezzar said, you better bow, buddy. He wasn't there. No, he was found in the flames. He was found in the fire. He was found in the trial. You want to be close to God, decide not to bow. Decide not to bow. Say, I'm not going down to the things of this world. You can try to appeal to me all you want, and the answer is no. Kind of pressure me all you want, the answer is no. And you might find some flames, but you'll find the Son of God there. Right there with you. Once you get close to that kind of God, all this world tries to, they try to gin it up with its music. I'm so sick of it. I'm so sick of Christian music that sounds just like the world. If you took out the words, you wouldn't know any different. Matter of fact, you can look at some of this so-called Christian music. If you took out the words and looked at the stage and looked at the guys who were singing it and the way they sang it, you wouldn't know any difference between them and the lost world. And then we sit around like Christians and go, oh, I feel so spiritually moved. Hogwash. Hogwash. That is not the Holy Spirit of God. That is a fake spirit and not that which comes from God. It is not. It's this world's enticement and this world's pressure that tries to make a Christian and the people of God bow to the false gods of this world. And God says, don't do it. I'm not there. But you'll find me in the fire, my friend, when you have a settled faith, a strong faith, and a steadfast faith. So Say, I won't bow. And you'll find a God holding you up. Notice how they fell into the fire. But when Nebuchadnezzar saw the Son of God there, they were walking around. Throws them down bound and they hit the ground. And I think Jesus reaches down and just sets them all right back up. And says, walk with me. Walk with me. And you go there and God, you'll find a God who walks with you and keeps you going. I think this, we see the companionship of the Savior. And lastly, we see the conviction of the sinner. Then Nebuchadnezzar spake and said, blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who has sent his angels and delivered his servants that trusted in him and have changed the king's word and yielded their bodies, that they might not serve nor worship any God except their own God. Well, I get some Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2 right there. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. They refused to bow to anybody but Jesus. Therefore, I make a decree that every people, nation, and language which speak anything amiss against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego shall be cut in pieces, and their houses shall be made a dunghill. Because there is no other God that can deliver them after this sort. I guess you'd start speaking real nice about Jesus that day, wouldn't you? Even non-believers started saying nice things that moment. But you know what there was? There was a conviction of the sinner. You know, there was no conviction of the sinner if Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego had bowed the knee. They had given in to its emotional enticement, bowed the knee. If they had given in to the pressure of the world and bowed the knee, no conviction. If Nebuchadnezzar said, I'll burn you if you don't, and they bowed the knee, there's no conviction. But when they said, no. Friend, I don't even pray about this one. I don't even need to think about it overnight. I'm not careful. The answer is no. I have a faith that is settled and is strong and is steadfast. And they threw him in the fire and they looked in and said, well, look at that. The Son of God. That's the opposite of modern day Christianity. Modern day Christianity says, hey, it's okay. Take on some of that influence of the world in your life. Boy, your faith will be so much more appealing. Oh, bow the knee. You'll have so much more impact. Oh, just bow and give into the things of this world. And what an influence you will be that day. For the 90-foot Nebuchadnezzar you will be. But not for the God of heaven. See, the conviction of the sinner came. When I looked at him, so I don't even think to think about this when we decided this, you know. Matter of fact, we decided before we even arrived here in Babylon, we decided on the way over. We decided in our heart, we're not going to eat the king's meat. We're not bowing to your gods and we're not giving in to this indoctrination you have for us. And you can play the music all you want and make pretty sounds, but we're still not bowing. You can put all the pressure on with the mightiest people in the world and I'm still not bowing the knee. You can command me and threaten me with that hot fire, but the answer is no way. They had a settled faith. They had a strong faith. They said, our God is able to deliver us, but if He chooses not to deliver us, the answer is still no. Because we're going to know where we're headed. And that faith shocked the world. That faith convicted Nebuchadnezzar. Looks around and said, didn't we throw three men bound in the fire? They go, yeah. They're walking around in there and they're loose. And there's a fourth guy with them. And that, I've never seen him before, but I'm pretty sure that's the Son of God. There was no question in their mind. I've never seen anything like that, but I'm pretty sure it's not of this world. That's got to be God. And he says, as they came out, I picture him, I smell no flames. Where those cords I bound you with, they're gone. That convicted the world. That convicted the world. You know what convicts the world? A Christian who doesn't bow. Christian says, "No, no. Tell me all you want, but I recognize that that's not of God." "Oh, yeah, I'm not. Pressure me all you want. No, I'm not giving in. I don't even have to be careful about it. Don't have to think about it. It's already settled for me." "Oh, you mean you won't appreciate me anymore? You won't like it anymore? That's okay. You can pressure me all you want." The answer is no. "I don't know what happens in the future, but the government can get all upset about it as much as they want." But the answer is no. And all of a sudden they see the fourth man in the fire. As a Christian stands and walks around, they look and say, "There's something different about that person, and it's not something I've got. It's not something I've experienced. It's got to be the Son of God." But this world pressures the Christian. Bow to it. Become like it. Surrender to it. There's no defilement in it. It's just for a time. It's okay. Hey, your witness will grow stronger. You'll be so much more appealing to the world. Good thing John the Baptist wasn't worried about it. Right? Good thing Elijah wasn't worried about it. Or Jeremiah or Ezekiel. Or Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They just said, "No. I'm not bowing." And they found God's deliverance. I believe this. God always delivered. It's just a matter of when. Finish with this and I'll be finished. I love how Nebuchadnezzar said, "Because there is no other God that can deliver after this sort." I would say there's no other God that can deliver, period. He had it almost right. There is no God that can deliver, period, because there is no other God. Period. And I tell you what, there's no God that can deliver. There's just one God. His name is Jesus. He delivered us at Calvary. And He rose again. He said, "Go be my ambassadors to this world. Go carry the gospel of Jesus Christ. Don't let this world defile you." Pure religion, undefiled before God and the Father, is to visit the fatherless and the widows in their affliction and to keep himself unspotted from the world. I want you to walk out there and not smell like the flames of this world, not be bound like this world. And I'll be there with you all the way along. And one day, friend, I'm trying to sound that trumpet and you're coming with me. And the world will stand in awe because of they saw me in you. That's what happened that day. They refused to bow. Christians, we don't need to be bowing to the world, giving into its influence, but rather standing out from it and serving our Savior, period. Have a settled faith. Have a strong faith. Have a steadfast faith with an if not clause that says, if God doesn't deliver me, I'm still not bowing. You can't have me because He already bought me. Let's pray. Lord, I love you and I thank you so much for the Word of God. I thank you for the